Two immigrant detainees in a New Jersey county jail are on a hunger strike to highlight the injustices of U.S. immigration policy. Nigel Macondo, a legal resident from India, has been on a hunger strike for 50 days. And Hennis Mohiber, a permanent resident from Guyana, has completed a fourth week without solid food. Both of these detainees join the untold thousands of immigrants being held in Bureau of Citizenship and Immigration Service jails throughout the United States without being charged with any crime. In both cases, the detainees are in jail because of past offenses. I spoke with Jeanette Gabriel of the New Jersey Civil Rights Defense Committee about the ongoing hunger strike.
Sure. Nigel Macondo, who's from India, has been on a hunger strike since June 18th, 54 days. And Hennis Mohiber from Guyana has been on a hunger strike for 42 days. There's been a series of hunger strikes among the detainees who are immigrants who were rounded up after 9-1-1 and are being held on no legal charges by the Department of Homeland Security, which is what the INS has now been rolled into. And there's been a lot of brutality against the detainees who are largely being held in county jails and federal detention centers. The detainees are going on these hunger strikes as an act of desperation. They have no choice except to stay in long-term detention or to accept deportation in this case. And Nigel Macondo has been in the United States since 1974. His whole extended family is here in the United States. Deportation to India is not an option for him. And the same is true with Hennis. He has his whole family is in the United States, and he does not want to return to Guyana. So they're speaking out about the injustices that are being done inside the jails. Holding the detainees is a violation of the Bill of Rights that we have in the United States. You can't hold people for a long time without charges. And then there's the increased question of the brutality against them in the jail. They're regularly beaten by the guards and attacked by dogs.
Can you give some light as to the reasons that the INS or the Department of Homeland Security is giving to detain these two people who are on hunger strike, but more generally, those people who are being detained?
That's a really good question, because the logic of the Department of Homeland Security is really unclear. The initial idea of the post-911 roundups is that we needed to find everybody in the country who might be a terror suspect. That is clearly not the case for most of the innocent people who are rounded up after 911 and have no charges being brought against them by the government. So the government has no basis to claim that they might be a terrorist threat. They're actually using legislation that was passed in 1996 under the Clinton administration, anti-terrorism legislation, that says anybody who wasn't born in the United States, who has a past criminal conviction of any type, can be held for deportation. So Nigel had a counterfeit bill, a $100 counterfeit bill in his possession. He did time in federal court for 8 years, and now he is being held for deportation on the basis of a past crime. And the same is true with Hennis, who has a seventh-degree misdemeanor for being present during a drug bust, but not having possession of any drugs himself, paying a $250 fine, and is now being held for deportation on the basis of a past criminal conviction. And this, again, flies in the face of the legal idea that you do your time to society and then you cannot be convicted for the same crime twice.
Can you speak about the reaction of people in New Jersey? Groups like yours are putting forth a very strong effort to educate people as to this hunger strike, and more largely the realities that people within detention centers in the United States are facing. So how have people been reacting to this situation?
Right. As you say, the whole focus of our group is to try to bring to the public attention what is going on with the detainees. And our opinion is that when the public becomes aware of what is happening to these innocent people, that the public will not accept that. So this is part of a long tradition of fighting for civil rights in our country, and that most people in this country see themselves as being part of that tradition of struggling for civil rights. and believing in a country where everybody has equal rights, not two-tier citizenship or a group of citizens and then other people with no rights that can be exploited. So the response that we've gotten has been really powerful. There have been hundreds and hundreds of people calling into the jail, demanding that Nigel be moved to the hospital and get adequate medical care, which is being denied to him by the jail and the DHS. We had a march against fear in the March of this year through Patterson in the immigrant communities, and we had just a tremendous response of people coming out. The problem is that it's very difficult to get the information to the American public about what is happening. The press has not been publicizing it. The local press in our area has not been covering the hunger strike. In the New York area, the New York papers do not cover it. It's like there's a blackout because the Department of Homeland Security is quite conscious of the fact that the American people would not accept these policies. So they have to make sure that the real information about what's happening doesn't get out.
You've been working directly with these two detainees. Can you maybe describe the condition that they're in right now and also what you feel continues to drive them to participate in this hunger strike given that their health is beginning to fail?
Sure. We're deeply concerned about Nigel's health condition because he has an ongoing heart problem which has never received adequate care in the jail. He's been taken to the emergency room several times because of the pressure that we've brought to bear, but has never seen a doctor in the emergency room, unbelievable as that sounds, and has always been taken immediately right back to the jail, not checked into the hospital. Hemnath, we're deeply concerned about his deteriorating health condition. The problem is that the detainees are afraid that they're just going to go unnoticed and that they have to cry out. There was another man in Passaic County Jail who conducted a hunger strike at Passaic County Jail demanding his freedom, Farouk Abdelmouti, a Palestinian detainee, and because of his activity was transferred to rural Pennsylvania in York County Jail where he's been held in solitary confinement for 4 months. Farouk is completely innocent of any type of crime. He was picked up by the DHS and told that the United States doesn't like his opposition to Israel's policies. So there's an ongoing pattern of this abuse, and Nigel and Hemnath are in touch with Farouk. They know what can happen to them, that they can be moved to solitary confinement and isolated from the world. But even with that fear, they're deeply, deeply committed to continuing this fight and exposing to the American people and people around the world the injustices that are taking place because they feel they have no choice. That this is not just about the fate of them individually or even the fate of the detainees, but the fate of all of our rights. If people can be rounded up and held in jail and brutalized, if a marginalized group can have that done to them, then that can happen to any one of us. And the government has repeatedly done this in wartime throughout U.S. history. There's a pattern of deportations in World War I, of internment camps in World War II. This is just a continuation of what the government continues to be acceptable policies against what are immigrants. And we're all immigrants in this country. So to separate us and isolate us into a group of immigrants or non-immigrants is a false dichotomy.
Could you speak more broadly about the crackdown on immigrant and refugee communities in the United States post 9/11?
Sure. I'm sure maybe people in Canada know about the influx of Pakistanis to Canada. Tens of thousands of Pakistanis fleeing New York. I'm sure you know about that already.
Yeah, they're all here in Montreal.
Yes. So obviously that's been a huge problem for us. Our Pakistani community in New York is devastated. People are terrified, and this is very much the fear. This is a chilling effect of the U.S. governmental policies that they can round people up and deport a few people and attack a few people, and on that basis scare all of us. So that's what they're trying to do, and the chilling effect has really worked. If you speak out about the government policies, you're seen as a threat to national security. And, of course, none of us know what that national security even means. It's not delineated in any clear manner, so that our basic democratic rights are continually being stripped away. And the fear is not just within the immigrant community, it's also within the activist community. So that everybody feels that they need to curtail their activities and not speak out about these issues and not get involved. And that affects all of us. And so there are the people who do step forward are doing so in a very courageous manner. And the fact that the detainees inside the jail would be willing to step forward and demand that their voices be heard is an indication of how brave Nigel and Hemnath and Farouk and all the others who have hunger struck in the jails really are. And we feel that we have to defend them on the outside. It's our responsibility as people who believe in democracy to stand up for everybody who's willing to fight against injustice.
You mentioned that in times of war, the government of the United States has historically initiated these types of harsh immigration policies, World War I and World War II with the internment of the Japanese, and now with massive detentions. How do you feel that this situation with detentions in the United States is connected to wars abroad, the war in Iraq or the ongoing war on terrorism, as it's called?
Well, the war is being used as an excuse to attack civil liberties at home. For example, immediately after September 11th, the Patriot Act was passed by Congress. How is it possible that in the few days between September 11th and when this bill of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages was put before Congress, that there was time for that bill to be written and considered and debated? I wonder where that bill came from and how long that it had been planned to have been put in front of Congress. So September 11th was an opportunity, and most of the members in Congress, the vast majority of members in Congress who passed the Patriot Act, never read it. That act strips all of us in the United States of our civil rights, regardless of our status as citizens or non-citizens. So this is a planning process that's been going on. And now the government is using September 11th, the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, as a justification for the policies that they've really been wanting to carry out for a long time. And another indication of that is the fact that some of these more brutal immigration policies, which really make civil immigration matters into criminal charges, stem from the 1996 anti-terrorism legislation passed under the Clinton administration. So this is part of an ongoing process that the war is making much easier to the American public because it justifies. We're at war, so we need to make sure that we are safe, whatever safe means. And safe means racism. It means exclusionism. It means separating people into, you know, tier one and tier two, where tier two becomes slaves.
What do you expect to happen in the coming days with the situation of the two hunger strikers in New Jersey?
Well, we expect the Department of Homeland Security to intervene and move Nigel to the hospital. We are going to ask for an investigation into what is going on and why Nigel and Hemnath are not receiving appropriate health care. The County Board of Governors controls a contract with the jail. It's called the County Freeholders. They're having a meeting on August 19th. And we certainly intend to be at that meeting and demand that they take action to oversee this contract. And that's one of the things that New Jersey Civil Rights Defense Committee is doing, is demanding that the contract between the county jails and the Department of Homeland Security be terminated so that counties are not profiteering from the innocent, from suffering of innocent detainees. Right now, Passaic County, where the jail is located, is being paid $28,000 a year for each detainee. So we're trying to put pressure on county officials to intervene in this process because they really are responsible for what happens in that jail. There's no such thing as oversight over the Department of Homeland Security. They are accountable to no one. So our approach is to come in and put pressure on local politicians. And if people want to help out, calls have been coming in from all over the world, and that's very, very important to us. You can go to our website at www.nj-civilrights.org and help us out with some phone calls.
We're just about out of time. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I'd just like to add that, you know, the border, the whole idea of borders in this world has always been an artificial thing, and that's something that I feel very strongly about, and New Jersey Civil Rights Defense Committee feels strongly about, that people can't be detained and held on the basis of what country they come from, and the whole idea of borders is something that we have to rethink. And certainly, you know, between the United States and Canada, this has been an ongoing problem about borders and how people are defined and given rights on the basis of what plot of land they happen to be on. And one of the things that we need to keep fighting for is the rights of all people to have the rights of democratic process and all the things that are afforded for us in the Bill of Rights and our Constitution that were fought for, and that should happen, be given those rights regardless of what country you were born or what country you were brought up in or what country you happen to live in now. So, you know, we're calling for the freedom of these detainees and of all the detainees in Guantanamo Bay and the camps in Iraq and Afghanistan. We just can't distinguish when we're talking about people's basic rights as to what country you're being held in.
You have been listening to an interview with Jeanette Gabriel of the New Jersey Civil Rights Defense Committee about the ongoing hunger strike of two immigrant detainees in a New Jersey county jail, and are highlighting the struggle of the untold thousands of immigrants being held in Bureau of Citizenship and Immigration Service jails without being charged with any crime. In both cases, the detainees are in jail because of past offenses. Visit www.nj-civilrights.org or call 646-247-3238. This interview has been produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christophe.